Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. And these words before us this evening, Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And our subject this evening is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. This is the sixth part of the armour of God. And well, it is strictly speaking the final part of the armour of God. It's not the final message in the series. We will be looking at prayer next week, which we read of in verse 18. But really, this is the last part of the armour that we put on, or take up, as it were, the sword of the Spirit. And what is the sword of the Spirit? Well, it explains that to us at the end of this verse, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God will once again be prominent in our thinking. And I'm sure you have noticed that it has already featured very prominently in, when we've looked at almost every other part of the Christian armour. Every part of the Christian armour, well, when we've analysed it, the Word of God has been so important in order for us to put on this armour, in order for us to apply every part of the armour that we have considered. Well, we began with the belt of truth, and we spoke about the Word of God. The belt of truth, the Word of God is true, and that is what we need to understand, and we'll speak about that again this evening. We must have that firm conviction that the Word of God is the truth. Otherwise, the rest of the armour will be loose-fitting and will not serve us as it ought to do. Then we had the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness, which spoke to us about the law of God, the Ten Commandments. That is our guide to righteousness, how we ought to love the law and honour and esteem it. Well, we only find the law of God in the Word of God. That is where our righteousness comes from the Word. We cannot separate these two things. So the Word of God was there with the breastplate of righteousness. And then the gospel, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, of course, the gospel is only found in the Word of God. It's the message, the central message in the Scriptures. And then faith, above all, taking the shield of faith. Well, faith has to be attached to the Word of God, intimately attached. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Everything goes back to the Word of God. And the helmet of salvation last week, take the helmet of salvation. Well, we considered how our thoughts, how all our opinions are formed by the Word of God. We don't really have our own opinions. We don't say to ourselves, the Bible says this, but I think something else. No, what we think is based on the Word of God, is formed by the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that keeps us sober when we become drunk with the things of this world. So the Word of God, we've already spoken about it so much, I don't want to repeat myself this evening, but the Word of God is so important when we think of every piece of the armour. But this specifically speaks to us about the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit. This is something new, at least, that we will focus on this evening. What does it mean that the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, is the sword of the Spirit? What is the Spirit that is being spoken of? Well, of course, I'm sure many of you know, this is talking about the Holy Spirit. The Bible is the sword of the Spirit. Well, I trust all of you know who the Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not simply a force or a presence or anything superstitious or mystical like that. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is God himself. We know about the Trinity. There is one God, yet within the one Godhead, there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune Godhead. And each person within the Godhead is equally God, fully God. They are distinct, but they are not divided. There is perfect unity within the Godhead. They are one. But, my intention is not to speak about the Trinity this evening, but I want us to make sure that we understand who the Holy Spirit is. He is God, and no less than God. Indeed, we remember what the unpardonable sin is. There is a sin that is unpardonable in the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ mentioned this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, against the Holy Spirit, shall not be forgiven unto men. That's the unpardonable sin. The sin that cannot be forgiven. The sin that is directed specifically against the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. And, we must not blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Certainly not by saying that he is lesser than God the Father or lesser than God the Son. We do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is most certainly God himself. And well, there is much that we could say about the Holy Spirit, but I don't want this to be a study exclusively on the Spirit. I want to show this evening how the Spirit is associated with the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit is the member of the Godhead responsible for giving us the Scriptures, for revealing to us the will of God through his Word. The teaching of the Scriptures is that the Word of God came by the inspiration and direction of the Holy Spirit of God. And there are two principal texts in the New Testament that we turn to corroborate these claims. The first is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Some of you will know these words well. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, all Scripture is God-breathed. That's what that word means, given by inspiration of God. God has breathed out his word in revealing it to us. The breath of God is synonymous. It means the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. In John's Gospel, chapter 20 and verse 22, in one of the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection appearances, Christ the incarnate God, the second person of the Trinity, when he appeared to his disciples as the resurrected Lord, he breathed on the disciples, and he said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." When he breathed out, he was showing forth the Holy Ghost. He was sending out the Holy Ghost, the breath of God, the breath of God the Father, the breath of God the Son, as it were, the Holy Spirit. And so when we read these words in 2 Timothy 3, 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, God breathed, this is pointing to the work of the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures are the Word of God, not the Word of man. But what about the human authors? People will always mention this, and I always mention how we should answer these things. What about the human authors? Well, we always point to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. These words, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The scriptures, the Old Testament prophecies, Peter is specifically talking about, but it would include the New Testament as well. The word of God did not come from the will of men. It wasn't their opinion. It wasn't what they thought, but they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that moved them to put down in writing what God wanted them to say. I've mentioned it many times before, but that word moved in the Greek is a nautical term that suggests, the picture is that you have a boat on the river or on a lake, and it's got its sail up, and it's waiting for the wind to blow the sail so that the boat can move. It's waiting for the wind, for that breath. And that's exactly what the prophets did, and the apostles. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. They couldn't do nothing of themselves. They had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come and to move them and to inspire them to write down the word of God. They were pens in the hands of the Almighty. I often use that illustration, but that's so very true. A pen is essential for writing. You can't write anything down without a pen, but it's not actually the pen that writes. The pen doesn't write its own thoughts. It's the author. It's the one who holds the pen. So the apostles, the prophets, they were pens in the hand of the Almighty, in the hand of God. They were just the instruments by which the word of God was set down. So this is a basic teaching in Christianity and something that all Christians must believe without question. The scriptures are God-breathed. They are from God. They have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. They are not the work of men. And when you have that right understanding, when you know and you understand that the scriptures are from God, well, then obviously you know that the scriptures are always right. The scriptures are always right. When the world says something different, when the world has a different viewpoint to the Bible, the Bible says one thing, the world says something else, who do we go with? We go with the Bible. Why? Because the Bible is God's word. It's not man's word. If it was man's word, well then, we would have reason to question it. Man can be wrong, of course. But we know that the Bible is from God, has been inspired by the Holy Spirit, who is God. So we ought to trust the word of God. If the world says something different, who are we to believe? We believe the Bible. That would, of course, include everything. Evolution, for example. Who are we to believe? The Bible says the world was created in 6 days. God created all things. The scientists say we all evolved out of animals and apes and so on. Who are we to believe? We have to believe the word of God. Yes, of course. Because man can be wrong. Man is so often wrong. Man can only speculate. He can't possibly know. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-wise. The Holy Spirit of God is. God is all-knowing. God knows all things. He's right about everything. He's not just right about some things and then he's wrong on some other things. No, God is perfect in his wisdom and in his knowledge. He knows all things. So, dear friends, we always side with the word of God because the word of God has been inspired by the Holy Spirit, who is God himself. And we could talk about so many other things. I've mentioned evolution, moral matters, morality. Well, the world differs from the Bible on things concerning morality. What is right? What is wrong? The Bible has the world has a completely different view to the Bible. Who do we go with? Is the world right or is the Bible right? Of course, it's the scriptures. It's God himself. The God who alone is good, the God who alone is holy, the scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit. God knows what is truly right and what is truly wrong. So when the world says something different and we're caught in the middle, who do we go with? We go with the Word of God because it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. We can trust this Word, dear friends. We can trust the Word of God. It is a trusty sword to pick up and to use in the battle. But well, these things are so important, but I want to focus for the rest of our time on another passage of Scripture that describes the Word of God as a sword. And we read this in our Scripture reading from Hebrews chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, please do turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, because this will help us in our thinking on how the Word of God is like a sword. We've spoken about the Spirit and the Spirit's association with the Word, but let us consider how the Word of God is like a sword. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. These words, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Well, these words are tremendous, and I hope you don't mind me looking at this part of the New Testament for insight and edification. "For the Word of God is quick and powerful." What does that mean, the Word of God is quick? Well, that means it is alive. The Word of God, it is a living word. It's a living word. It's an eternal word. It has been set down, it has been given to us by the eternal God, the Holy Spirit of God. So this word is always alive. It's not a dead word. It's not the word of men who have lived and died. It's not an old book that was written a long time ago that's stuck in a certain time, in a certain period, in a certain culture. No, this word is not stuck anywhere. It's not stuck in any time. It's a timeless word. It's a living word. It's always relevant. It speaks to men in every age, in every culture, in every land and nation. It is a living word. It's not the words of men who have lived and who have now died. This is the word of the living God. The author of this word is from everlasting to everlasting. And well, as the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." This word cannot be outdated, cannot go past its expiry date. This is a living word, dear friends. We must understand this. And when we say living word, we mean that the word imparts life. This Bible, this scripture, it gives you life. It gives you spiritual life. It changes you. It has changed and transformed millions of people over the centuries of time. Millions of people who have read these words have been utterly transformed because of the Word of God. No other book, no other religious book even, can lay claim to this, that people have read other religious books and been completely transformed in a fundamental way within and without. It's the Word of God. Because this is a living word. It imparts life. But we do have to qualify this, because we have to come back to the Spirit. The Word of God, it changes us, yes. The Word of God changes us, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way the Word of God changes us. The Holy Spirit must enable us to understand the Word of God and to respond to it in the right way. Without the enabling of the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit working in us, this book, this Bible, it's a closed book to us. This book, well, it makes no sense. We cannot see the beauty of it. We cannot see the point of it. We cannot see how this Bible could ever apply to us. It's the Holy Spirit that must reveal these things to us. It's the Spirit that quickens us through the Word of God. We read of this in many places in the Scriptures, but I just read out to you 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, the same Apostle Paul. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The normal man, he doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. When the natural man, the man on the street, the unreligious man, the unbeliever, when he reads this, it means nothing to him. It must be spiritually revealed to him by the Word of God. God has revealed the Word of God to all Christians by His Spirit. We are in the dark concerning the Word of God until the Spirit illuminates us. And this is a glorious thing, because you can have somebody who is very intelligent, somebody who is an academic, somebody who is a scholar, and he will have absolutely no understanding of the Word of God. He may be very intelligent and lots of qualifications, but when he reads the Word of God, he will have no understanding because the Holy Spirit is not in him. But then on the other hand, you can have someone who's completely uneducated, somebody with no qualifications, even a young child, and they will understand it. Why? What's the difference? They have the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has illuminated them and granted them understanding. This is a glorious thing. Understanding the Word of God is not down to our intellect. We've spoken about this several times. It's not the most intelligent who understand this. No, it's the ones who are most blessed by the living God, who have the Holy Spirit working within them. It's the Spirit that reveals this to us. It's not education or schools or even seminaries. It's the Holy Spirit of God. So the Word of God, it quickens us. It gives us life, but the Holy Spirit must be there. The Holy Spirit must superintend and illuminate the eyes of our understanding. And well, of course, this is why we pray before every service, particularly the evangelistic service on Sunday morning. We pray that the Holy Spirit will come and move amongst the people. The preacher cannot convert anybody. The Holy Spirit must work and give everybody understanding. So you see, it's the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And well, these things are so very important. But time is running on, and I just want to spend our final moments looking at this 12th verse in Hebrews, because this is so enlightening for us. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is like a sword, a two-edged sword. The Roman sword in ancient times, at the time of the writing of this letter, the Roman sword was commonly made in this manner. It was a two-edged sword to make it easier to penetrate, to make it easier to cause damage, as it were, to cut open a victim, as horrible a thought as that is. It would cut each way, a double-edged sword. And the Word of God is like that. This is what the Apostle is saying. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Well, what does that mean, just briefly? The piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Well, this essentially means the division, the difference between the old man and the new man, the Word of God. You know, when we understand the Word of God, when we believe in the Word of God, it is like the old man, the old person that you once were, has been slain. The sword of God has slain that old man, and now you're a new man. Before, you were just an unregenerate man with a soul. Anybody has a soul, even unbelievers have a soul. But now you realize you have a spiritual life Now you have eternity. The spiritual things of God have been revealed to you. The dividing asunder of soul, the unregenerate soul, now you have spiritual and eternal life. This is speaking about the slaying, the dividing of the old man and the entering in of the new man. And well, when we're saved, that is what happens. The old man is slain. But also it divides us, the word of God, from everyone else who is unregenerate. It divides us in a very real sense. That doesn't mean that we move out of our houses when we have unsaved wives or unsaved family members. Well, of course, we don't do that. We don't part company with them. But there is a division. The word of God, well, it divides people. It can divide fathers from their sons, mothers from their daughters, brothers from their sisters, the regenerate and the unregenerate. There is a division. Yes, the word of God unites us to a new family, to believers in Christ, but it also divides us from those who are unregenerate, from those who are unsaved. It cuts both ways. The word of God, it cuts both ways. It's a double-edged sword. And then, well, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, of spirit, and of the joints and marrow. What is that talking about? We can only be brief with these words. But what does this mean? And of the joints and marrow? Well, this is speaking about the bones within us. The joints, marrow, the bones within us, hidden within us. And why is he speaking about that? Well, the word of God, it brings out or it exposes even those things that are hidden deep within us. Those secrets that are hidden deep within us. Those flaws of character. Those deep-seated flaws in our makeup and vices and snares and besetting sins. The word of God exposes all of these things out into the open. Before they were hidden within us. But when we hear the word of God, it brings these things out. It exposes us. It cuts us open, as it were. That's the word of God. But not only does it expose us, it also cuts out the cancer. Just like a surgeon, you're on an operating table. A surgeon opens you up, he cuts out that which is causing you sickness and ill health, cuts out the cancer. That's what the word of God does. It convicts us, yes, of all our sins and all our faults, but it also cuts out the cancer that is within us. It's a double-edged sword, a two-edged sword, the word of God. These are wonderful things to consider. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, those hidden things, those deep-seated sins and vices are cut out, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, it judges, the word of God judges our hearts. Even as saved people, our hearts, well, there are all sorts of sins within them. We have lusts within them. We have covetous desires within them. We have greediness. We have selfishness. We have anger in our hearts. But the word of God, it judges us. It condemns us for having those thoughts in our hearts. And we ought to conform our hearts as closely as possible to the word of God. It discerns our very hearts, and how often we even have to use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, against ourselves to quell our defiled hearts. But at the same time, well, the word of God, it fills our hearts with comfort. It fills our hearts with the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It sheds abroad in our hearts the love of God when we read about the gospel, when we read about the precious promises in the word of God. God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. When we read about the forgiveness of all our sin, yes, our hearts are defiled. We know that. Our hearts are impure, but there is the forgiveness of sins, washing and cleansing our hearts. You see, it's a double-edged sword. It convicts us, And yet, well, it cuts away all our unbelief, cuts away all our fear and all our doubt, and replaces it with love, everlasting love in the Lord Jesus Christ. That glorious double-edged sword, the Word of God. Oh, dear friends, these are glorious things. I've only just skimmed the surface because I didn't want to run over time, and we're out of time at the moment. But this is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. It has been inspired by the Spirit of God. It is perfect. It is infallible. It is inerrant. There is no error in it. It is always right. Make sure you are always siding with the Word of God. Ignore what the world has to say. It is wrong. The Word of God is right, because it's not the work of men, it's the work of the living God. And one last comment. In a battle, if you were to go into battle, well, the sword wouldn't do you much good if it was still in its scabbard, if it was still by your side, if it was still sheathed. The sword has to be unsheathed. It has to be out. The sword must be ready. Well, do you have a Bible? I'm sure you all do. Do you use it? Is it unsheathed, as it were? Or is it just on your shelf, just gathering dust? You never use it. You never use the sword of the Spirit to be that blessing to you, to be that great piece of the armor that will protect you from Satan and will be a great blessing to your spiritual life. Do you read your Bibles? Dear friends, we've looked at each piece of the armor, and as I mentioned right at the outset, the Word of God is central to each and every part. You must be steeped in Scripture. You can never read enough or too much Scripture. If you read the whole Bible, read it again. Memorize it, cherish it, love it, and hold fast to it. And never be ashamed of it. It will be your guide. It will be your sword, the sword of the Spirit. May the Lord bless these things to us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, how we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee that it is indeed the Word of the living God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, God-breathed. Lord, may we believe it, may we defend it, may we always be found on the side of the Word of God. Oh, dear Lord, bless us, we pray. Help us to draw near to Thee through Thy Word. Help us in our devotions. Grant us great understanding. Enable us by the power of Thy Holy Spirit to apply the Word of God to our lives. Oh, dear Lord, we thank Thee for all Thy blessings and Thy kindness toward us. And may we be strengthened in this spiritual warfare through the Word of God. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.